This episode and others like it are made possible by the generous support of my patrons on Patreon. If you'd like to help support the channel, join the Discord, and get early access to every video, consider becoming a patron at patreon.com/secondthought.
I'm going to give you an assignment. I want you to write a theme.
Ah, school. Every young person's favorite place. From the long, windowless hallways, to the congealed macaroni and expired milk, to the catchy songs to remember what to do in a school shooting scenario, the United States is truly unrivaled in our educational experience. It's probably perfectly normal that the top two emotions kids report feeling in school are stressed and bored, and that a full 75% of all emotions expressed about school are negative. This is a big problem, and it's getting worse. What's going on here? Why is American schooling so terrible?
In this school, self-esteem will be attained in only one way, racism. And you will address all teachers by the N-word. The school's clubs will be based on Nazism. I will club all teachers who teach global warming. If you leave this school without being murdered or enslaved, this school will have failed.
That's part of your answer right there. Very real and totally unedited video of Dennis Prager aside, we do need to talk about some troubling developments in American education before we can talk about the US approach as a whole. In the last 40 years or so, American politics, and by extension the public consciousness, has moved further and further to the right. We've done a few videos on this phenomenon in the past, which I recommend you watch if you haven't already. But the gist of it is that as our elected officials, media, and economic policy have become more extreme in their devotion to the free market, it's caused certain consequences throughout society. The main one is the cutting of corners in order to secure greater profits. That's the prime directive of capitalism: make more this year than you did last year. The problem with that approach, besides the whole capitalism thing in general, is that there's only so much fat you can trim, only so many people you can fire, only so many benefits you can strip away, only so much funding you can withhold before things start to fall apart. This has been the case in everything from infrastructure, where things are literally falling apart, to manufacturing, to the supply chain, and the topic of this video, to education. American public schools are drastically underfunded. The undermining of public education as an unbearable expense is par for the course under a capitalist regime. Performance is suffering, they say, as if cutting investments for safe learning environments or school lunches isn't causing those very problems they're using to justify more spending cuts. That's old news, though. Free market acolytes have been trying to defund public schools for years. What's new, though, is a massive surge of right-wing ideology into education. Let's talk about PragerU. PragerU, short for Prager University, is a conservative nonprofit and media outlet founded by Alan Estrin, a nobody screenwriter, and Dennis Prager, a conservative talk show host. The organization is known for peddling misleading and often straight-up false information in their various online series. But more importantly, they're very popular, with nearly 3.2 million subscribers on YouTube, slick animations, charismatic hosts, and tens of millions of dollars at their disposal. It's not hard to see why PragerU is a household name. Most of the outlet's name recognition stems from their incredibly popular and easily digestible 5-minute videos, each of which reportedly cost about $30,000 to make. These short videos tackle hot-button political, cultural, and economic topics, with such esteemed hosts as Ben Shapiro, Candace Owens, Tucker Carlson, and Dave Rubin. PragerU has been criticized for their denial of climate change, revisionism in regards to slavery and the history of fascism, their inhumane stance on immigration, and their generally bigoted behavior towards minority groups. But none of that really affects them. Why? They have money, they're incredibly prolific, and they don't challenge the status quo. All of these factors have led PragerU to their latest expansion project, PragerU Kids, putting their brand in front of your children's eyes in the classroom. Their videos being widely shared among Wine Mom Facebook groups was great and all, but they've been lacking the academic credibility that Prager University implies. Until now. In 2023, Florida, to no one's surprise, officially became the first state to accept PragerU as an educational vendor, stating that the organization's content, quote, aligned with the state's revised civics and government standards. If you're wondering what those revised standards are, that would be fascist governor and presidential hopeful Ron DeSantis's handiwork. DeSantis has been on a crusade to purge Florida schools of woke rhetoric, ban books, and root out teachers who are supposedly teaching things like critical race theory, which is a thing, but it's a very niche field of study at the university level. It's not taught in grade school anywhere in the country. Anyway, Florida is leading the charge to put PragerU in schools. Oklahoma followed a couple months ago. Not to be outdone, my home state of Texas, where our leadership recently revised textbooks to say that Native Americans just kind of got up and left, is also considering approving PragerU. The organization has been registered as an educational vendor in the state, but has not yet been approved by the Board of Education. Thankfully, teachers in all these states have at least put up a fight, recognizing that there is next to zero educational value in the PragerU kids' curriculum. And for more on the academic side of PragerU's operation, check out Zoe B's excellent video on the subject. Despite the best efforts of Florida, Oklahoma, and Texas teachers, PragerU has continued to weasel its way into our children's classrooms. Okay, so teachers can show PragerU videos in school and hand out boring little worksheets. Who cares? Well, besides the fact that their content is absolute garbage on an educational level, again, see Zoe B's video for a 30-minute rundown, the more concerning thing is that this gives us a good idea of the trajectory of American schooling. Let me explain. Rewind to the 80s. Big hair, boxy cars, and unfortunately, Ronald Reagan. In April of 1983, a commission formed by Reagan's education secretary released a now infamous report. It was titled A Nation at Risk: The Imperative for Educational Reform. The report stated, quote, "Our once unchallenged preeminence in commerce, industry, science, and technological innovation is being overtaken by competitors throughout the world. If an unfriendly foreign power had attempted to impose on America the mediocre educational performance that exists today, we might well have viewed it as an act of war." Based on cherry-picked data designed to yield Reagan's desired result, the document was used as justification to launch a 40-year war on the public education system. Now, it could have been worse, as Reagan had wanted to do away with the Department of Education entirely and privatize the whole thing. Thankfully, that didn't happen. But what did happen was still pretty bad. It began with using the document's findings, again based on bad data and faulty reasoning, to denigrate the public school system and government more generally. Conservatives had wanted to gut public education in favor of charter schools for some time, and this gave them the false legitimacy that began to resonate with white suburbanites. Vocational schools were left to rot, neither party willing to stand up for useful, hands-on training for kids who weren't able or didn't want to go to college. That avenue shriveled up and died, leaving millions of American students without the means to find societally beneficial work. Standardized test scores became the sole factor that determined whether a school was seen as good or bad. Anything that was seen as taking attention away from improving test scores, home economics, recess, the arts, after-school programs, they all became the first to get the axe when a school was deemed to be struggling. This trend has continued, from Bush's No Child Left Behind, to Obama's race to the top, to the recent push to purge schools of the incredibly vague woke ideology that's hiding in every literature or theater class. The report also had the effect of placing the blame on teachers, the poorly paid heroes who do the thankless work of educating the next generation. From the moment the report was released, teachers became the scapegoat for every academic failing, rather than the systemic economic issues which were caused by the very government that commissioned the bogus report. This trend has also continued to the modern day, with far-right culture warriors accusing teachers of poisoning the minds of students with their radical left agenda. You can draw a straight red line from Reagan's report to the war being waged for American education today. But a lot of this is on the cultural side of things. Yes, it's bad that the far right is trying to do book burnings and force students to conform to some weird patriotic ideology. Yes, it's bad that PragerU is allowed anywhere near a school classroom. But that doesn't get to the core issue of American education. Under a capitalist system, where the prime directive is the profit motive, the accumulation of capital, what good is a well-funded school system if it does not produce the maximum number of exploitable workers? It's fun to bash Reagan, and he was genuinely terrible, but really, we can trace a lot of modern schooling's failings all the way back to the Industrial Revolution and the birth of capitalism itself. This is a massive topic, so I'm going to leave a bunch of resources in the description if you'd like to learn more, but here's the short version. Feudalism slowly gives way to capitalism. Hooray, new merchant class, upward mobility for some. Things are going great. We love money. Now we've got some new machines and we need people to keep them running. Let's bring all the workers from the countryside into the city to work in our factories. Oh wow, this is even better. We're making so much money. But some of these guys are getting a little full of themselves and demanding more pay. Let's hyper-specialize these jobs. That guy inserts the bolt, the next guy screws it down, nobody has the full set of skills to produce the end product. Now we're talking, these people have nothing to bargain with anymore. We can pay them less and fire them if they complain. It's easy to train a new bolt turner. Get the picture? Each step taken by the capitalist class has been calculated to increase the exploitability of labor. The same is true of pretty much everything in a free market economy. Education has an asterisk attached, though. We don't live in a world of giant factories and brute force production anymore. We need to compete on a world scale in arenas like physics, aerospace engineering, global logistics. These things require serious education and training. So why would we shoot ourselves in the foot by cutting costs and not investing in future engineers and physicists? Well, it goes back to the profit motive. What will yield the quickest return on investment? A kid who goes to a well-funded school, graduates, goes into massive debt to earn a degree in quantum computing, and maybe lands a job in their niche? Or a million docile, conditioned little worker drones who understand that the bell means get to work, your teacher is the boss, no socializing allowed, and is trained to regurgitate information that doesn't really matter? That sounds like a good little Best Buy worker to me. Or food service. Or a call center. We have a service economy in the United States. 80% of jobs in this country are part of the service industry. We don't need well-funded public schools. If we want a particle physicist, we'll pluck some kid from a nice private school and make sure he ends up in the right university. The ruling class, of both parties by the way, understands that in an economy based entirely on consumption, we just don't need to waste money on producing the finest students in the world. There's a reason the US's global educational standing is slipping, particularly in math and science. There's a reason countries like China, which do not subscribe to a free market ideology, are thinking long-term, producing well-equipped graduates, and are now able to challenge the United States economically and geopolitically. We sold our souls for short-term profit maximization. What you see around you are the results of that. Crumbling infrastructure, massive inequality, rampant poverty and homelessness, a declining quality of life, and a gutted public school system. A public school system, by the way, which the ruling class was once okay with being a source of docile labor, but now expects the students to be indoctrinated into the same patriotic free market cult that has sold their future for a quick buck. That's why PragerU is in your kid's classroom. On the small scale, branding. It lends credibility to PragerU's operation and it makes them money. On the large scale, reproduction of social norms desirable to the ruling class. Proud of America, programmed to be obedient, unequipped for anything but service, whether that's in fast food or in the military. So when we see things like PragerU being injected into the public school curriculum, it's important to dig a little deeper and understand why these things happen. Nothing happens in a vacuum. There is an economic reality that determines what our culture looks like. And this is only one example. Capitalism is not equipped to solve the problems it creates. We want to be the dominant world power, but we don't manufacture anything. We don't lead in many industries besides defense. Our government is overwhelmingly hated by the average person. When the only thing that matters is the next dollar, scraping the tiniest bit of fat off an already lean operation, making sure operating costs are as low as humanly possible, eventually you get to a point where there's no more fat to trim. We're now in a period that's popularly called late-stage capitalism, and maybe for good reason. As the US loses its iron grip on the rest of the world, as we lose our imperial holdings and the rate of profit continues to fall, things will continue to get worse here at home. The education system, one of the most hot-button issues of the last few years, will continue to be a battleground. And the ones who suffer will be the children, caught between a school shooter created by the alienation inherent to our broken system and a fascist governor who wants to make sure little Timmy isn't exposed to any ideas that might call into question American exceptionalism. If this is what capitalism produces, maybe it's time to try something else. I mentioned at the beginning of the episode that my content is only possible thanks to my patrons on Patreon. I recently made the decision to leave Nebula, so I'm back to being 100% independent. It's exciting, but also a little nerve-wracking, since Nebula handled all my sponsors. Because a lot of people have been asking, and some bad actors have been trying to start drama, no, I wasn't kicked off the platform. I was asked to make a clarifying statement about my stance on Israel and Palestine, and in the end, it felt just a little too both sidesy for me. In my opinion, it's a very black and white issue. So rather than compromise my principles, I decided it was best for me to leave. There's no bad blood there, so please don't go harassing Nebula for my sake. But now that I'm independent again, the best way to support the channel is on Patreon. If you enjoy the work we're doing here at Second Thought, and you're able to chip in even a dollar a month, I would greatly appreciate your support. Every patron, regardless of pledge amount, gets early access to every video, plus access to our patrons-only Discord. We've got everything from a recommended reading list, to a book club, and I try to do a live Q&A every month or so. We've built a great community, and we'd love for you to be a part of it. We're a small team here. We don't have institutional backing, so we're entirely dependent on viewer support. If you'd like to help keep this operation afloat, visit patreon.com/secondthought and become a patron today. If you enjoyed this video, consider dropping a like. If you hated it, a thumbs down. You can check out our other content by following the links on your screen. Thanks for watching, and we'll see you next time.